Right, am I on?
Yep.
All right, perfect. That's the hardest part, right? Getting the mic on. Well, good morning, church. My name is Jacob Brissman. And for those of you who don't know me, my wife Sammy and I moved here in January to help build up the campus ministry. And I am so grateful for the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to be trained. Like Vince brought us in, he's like, I'm just going to train you guys. You know, I've never done ministry before. It's a learning experience, and I'm thankful for you guys taking the opportunity, you know, paying finances for me, for my wife to be here, to get training, to get to be a part of this campus ministry as we're building it. And this church, it's actually had a pretty big impact on my life. Now, while I wasn't necessarily baptized here, I didn't grow up here, in the late 90s, Dave and Heather Rissman moved to St. Louis, and they became disciples here. My parents were baptized in this church before I was ever even born. And I was born here. I was born in St. Louis shortly after my parents moved back to Chicago, where I was raised. Ended up going to Mizzou for my undergrad and grad school. ZOU. And, you know, I just happened to move to Mizzou, to Columbia, and that within that first semester, Vince moved back here. So I don't know if I scared him off. I don't know if my parents said, hey, Jacob's coming, you might want to leave. But he left. And the summer after my freshman year, I did a ministry and training program in Columbia. And, of course, Vince comes down, and he's looking for teen interns. And for some reason, he decided to pick me to go and live in the Ryan's basement all summer and work with the teen ministry. And I guess it was pretty good because the next year, I decided to come back again. And this year was during COVID. But the cool part about this was I got to bring this cute girl that I really liked with me this time, who would go on to eventually be my wife. And it was during that second internship was actually where I decided, you know what, I do want to do ministry full time. I do want to go into the ministry. At the time, I thought it was youth and family because that's all I knew. I grew up in the teen ministry. I got to do youth and family internships here. But it was that time where I decided ministry is what I want to do with my life. And so I have you guys to thank for that. I have you guys to thank for those opportunities. And like I said, me and Sammy moved here in January. I just graduated with my master's degree in genomics, which nobody knows what that means, essentially. I always get these weird faces of, okay, now let me explain. It's essentially just study of the genome. So it's DNA mixed with computer science. So I'm kind of a nerd in that sense, but I'm not a very good nerd. But it's been awesome to get to be here, to get to serve as we build this campus ministry. And we really are kind of starting from the ground up. About a year and a half ago, Vince had this vision. I heard he threw out some t-shirts to you guys and said, we're starting a campus ministry. He brought Sarah in, you know, about a year and a half ago to start laying the foundation and building this. And then he brought Calvin in, who is here for a year challenge and is now in Springfield. And then in January, me and Sammy joined. So there were four of us to start this thing. And it was awesome. And we started with one disciple. And now we have a whole little campus section. You know, it actually feels like a ministry. And it's awesome. You know, you got to hear from Andrew. You know, he's part of our campus ministry to do the offering. You'll hear another college student doing the communion afterwards. And then after church, we're actually going to have a baptism. And Kayla Mendoza is going to make Jesus Lord of his life. So feel free to stick around. You know, it'll be about 15, 20 minutes after the service. But me and Sammy, we're so grateful. We are so excited to be here, to get trained up by you guys. And I'm just grateful for the way that you guys have invested in me. You may not even know who I am. This may be the first time you see my face. But in some way, you have impacted my life. In some way, you have changed the trajectory of my faith and my walk with God. So thank you, guys. So let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll dive into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity to come together just as a family and to worship you this morning. You know, I'm grateful for just the opportunity to come to sing songs of praise, you know, to take time to give, to take communion, Lord. And I pray that each of us that we just walk away inspired, that we walk away convicted, encouraged, and just feeling closer to you, feeling challenged in the areas that we may need to grow in, Lord, because we all have faults, we all have things that we need to grow in, but you overcome those things, Lord, and so I'm grateful for that. I pray that you speak through me this morning, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So before the semester started, Sammy and I decided to take a trip to Denver, Colorado. Neither of us had ever been there before, and we were like, you know, let's go try something new. Last summer, you know, we went to a beach, we went to Branson, it was very relaxed vacations. And so we said, okay, let's go to Colorado. Let's go, you know, see God's beauty, the creation. We've heard all these things about how beautiful Colorado was. And the first hike that we decided to do there is this hike called Hanging Lake. And it's not a very long hike. It's only about 1.2 miles. And we figured this is perfect to start out, right? We're adjusting to the altitude. You know, we're still tired from traveling. So this is the one that we decided to start with. However, we had to make a reservation for it. And the reservation was at 8 a.m. And it was 3 hours away from our hotel. So we had to wake up at 4:30 in the morning, you know, just dragging ourselves out of bed, getting into the car. You know, and we're driving through the mountains, which is really pretty, but we're not used to that. And, you know, we're used to the flat roads in Missouri and Illinois. And, you know, so we're going up and down around sharp turns that just drop off. And it's raining most of the time that we're driving. And so we're like, okay, let's just not hydroplane off the side of this cliff. And then we finally get there. We're like, okay, we made it. It stopped raining. It's going to be perfect. And while the hike itself wasn't long, it had 1,200 feet of elevation gain. Great, great idea to start with this hike, obviously. And so we're going, and you know, a lot of hikes when you're in the mountains, you know, you stop every 15 minutes and take some fun pictures, and it's beautiful scenery. This one, we were just going through the woods. And we were just going up, and up, and up, and up. Every 15 minutes, instead of taking cute pictures, we're just stopping for air. We're trying to get some water. Maybe we're eating some more snacks because we're like, oh, I just need energy to get up this thing. It was a lot. This one hike, the long drive through the rain, up this steep hill. And it wasn't even that beautiful of a hike. We were just walking along a river. But once we got to the top, it was well worth it. You know, so you approach the summit of this hike, and there's this beautiful lake. And I have a picture of this. And there's this beautiful lake with waterfalls going into it. And you can't even see the other side, but the lake goes right up to the edge of this cliff. And you're just standing there looking out over this ravine that you just climbed up. And it's this beautiful place. And this was actually my favorite viewpoint out of the entire trip. But it took a lot to get there. It took some up and downs. It took some, are we even going to make it there alive? Gasping for air. But it was beautiful. And I think that's a lot of times how our walks with Christ can be. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times where we're like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it. But once we get to the top, once we get to see Jesus, all of that was worth it. None of that mattered. This was my favorite hike of that trip, and it was just stunning. You know, right as we got to the top, the clouds went away and the sun came out, and it really was this like, oh, this is so nice, God. But sometimes in life, you know, we have to make some climbs. Sometimes in life, we have to go through some hardships, overcome some shortcomings to get to the top. So you can go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 19. And that's where we're going to be reading out of this morning, as we read about a man named Zacchaeus, who had to make a climb of his own. So the title of my lesson this morning is A Climb to Change. And we'll pick up in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. We'll stop there for now. You know, this wasn't an uncommon scene, right? Jesus was a pretty popular guy. People flocked to him. There's always crowds around him wanting to hear him preach, wanting to see him do miracles. You know, and imagine you're there and you're just stuck in the back. You're too far. You can't see him. You're trying to get on your toes. And you just can't experience Jesus. There's no way to get to the front. That's the situation that Zacchaeus found himself in. You know, but he doesn't just sit in the back. He decides to do something about it. He runs ahead and he climbs a tree. So I have 2 points this morning. And the first is while we focus on Zacchaeus, the tree climber. You know, to be a tree climber is to be willing to do whatever it takes to see and to encounter Jesus. It isn't about anything that we have done or how we look to the world. It's about coming humbly before God.
Right.
So who was Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, and he was a Jew. But more importantly, he was a chief tax collector in Jericho. And so despite being a Jew himself, he would have been despised. He would have been outcasted from his fellow Israelites because of his profession as a tax collector. You know, to the Jews, a tax collector was someone who betrayed their own people to work for Rome. They oftentimes would cheat their own people for personal financial gain. You know, this probably led Zacchaeus to feeling pretty isolated. It's no coincidence that he's in the back, that he can't see Jesus. Additionally, in many ways, he likely would have given up on his faith long ago, feeling like that outsider. He was a sinner who was focused on himself and was a disappointment to his people. I think it's fair to say that Zacchaeus, he had his shortcomings. He fell short in so many ways. And on top of all this, he was short. It's such an interesting detail that the Bible includes, because if you're in the back of a crowd, you can't really see anyways. It doesn't matter if you're short or not. But Zacchaeus was short. He was too short to be able to see Jesus. Without taking action, he would have never been able to get that glimpse that he was longing for. But Zacchaeus isn't in the Bible because of his shortcomings. It's because of what he did despite his shortcomings. And if we're being honest, you know, we all have plenty of things, plenty of shortcomings in our own lives. You know, like Zacchaeus, you know, there are times where we know that Jesus is there. But our shortcomings, we allow our shortcomings to define us, to keep us from coming before God, to keep us from seeing him. You know, maybe your shortcoming is you just feel uncontent in life where you're at right now. Maybe you thought you'd be making more money. You thought you'd have that better job. You thought you'd be married with kids by now. And maybe your shortcomings are sins in your life that you haven't repented of, that you're hiding, that you're willingly sitting in the back. But we all have shortcomings. But Zacchaeus, he doesn't make excuses because of his shortcomings. He decides, I'm going to do something about it. There's an urgency and a willingness to do whatever he can just to see Jesus' face. So what does he do? He runs ahead and he climbs into a tree. And in biblical times, you know, there's a couple things that grown men don't do. They don't run and they don't climb trees. You know, for a grown man to run, it's not like they have pants and shorts. Like, you know, they'd have to kind of hike up their tunic a little bit, exposing their legs, which was seen as dishonorable and shameful. But not only does he run, he then puts himself up in a tree where anyone below him, if they accidentally look up, they see a little bit too much, right? They see his legs. He's in a very vulnerable position by climbing this tree. Zacchaeus was willing to do the childish thing because he didn't care about his honor. He didn't care about his dignity. He was focused on Christ. He was focused on just doing whatever he could to see Jesus. How far are you willing to go to overcome your shortcomings this morning? We should always be striving to draw closer to Jesus, to get to see more of who he is, to get to learn his character. But so often we choose to just sit in the back because it's just the season of life that we're in, or because we're scared of dealing with sin. You know, Zacchaeus, he cared more about seeing Jesus than what other people thought of him. Do you? He was willing to climb a tree and face even further disgrace and being further outcast than he already was to see Jesus. So why is it that sometimes we aren't willing to do the same? You know, we aren't willing to show up to church, to roll out of bed, to read our Bibles. You know, even just to wake up a couple minutes early so we have the time to spend time with God. And it's crazy because we literally have access to God's word in the palm of our hand. You know, if you have a phone, it's there. But we can get so caught up in the day-to-day, so caught up in the things that we have to do, or the shame that we feel because of our sin, that we don't even realize how it's affecting our relationship with God. We don't even realize that we're slowly pulling ourselves away. And it's interesting because most of the time when we're in that stage, where we're feeling disconnected to God, where we just don't feel like we can see him, we know what we need to do to fix it, don't we? Like, I know for me personally, whenever I get in that mode, I know I just need to go out on a long prayer walk by myself. Get in the woods, pray, read my Bible, and just sit with God. You know, I like to go to high bluffs and just look out over his creation. Or I like to go and find some water and just sit and reflect. You know, we know what we need to do, but so often we push it off. You know, like for me, I know I push it off as long as I can to the point where I'm like, I'm just so tired. I'm grasping for air. I'm grasping for just to feel that connection with God. But why do we wait so long? You know, what is the tree that you need to climb to overcome your shortcomings, to draw near to God? Is it your pride? Is it sin in your life that you've just been hiding? Or is it simply that it's just too uncomfortable? It's too inconvenient to spend the time and the energy needed to draw close to God? You know, Zacchaeus, he was focused on Jesus. And he was a sinner, full of shortcomings, just like each of us. But seeking after Jesus, it's not about what the world thinks about us. It's about seeing and being seen by the Creator. And just like Zacchaeus, we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to come humbly before God, even if it means climbing a tree. So let's pick up in chapter 19, verse 5, and we'll see how Zacchaeus responds to this encounter with Jesus that he has. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." You know, we see from Zacchaeus' response that his heart was softened when he encountered Jesus. All Jesus did was ask him to come down. "Let me stay in your house for the night." But Zacchaeus is transformed. There's this radical change, a radical repentance that all stemmed from Jesus calling him down by name. And that leads to my second point this morning, as we talk about Jesus, the heart changer. You know, when we encounter Jesus, we will walk away with a new life, with a changed heart, because that's just who Jesus is. He changes hearts. And I love how the scripture says that Jesus looked up and called Zacchaeus down by name. You know, Zacchaeus was just trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. He wasn't even necessarily looking for this interaction. But Jesus calls him down. Zacchaeus clearly didn't really know who Jesus was. But Jesus knew who he was. You know, imagine that you hear that Michael Jordan was coming to St. Louis to play a pickup two-on-two basketball game. You know, but in order to get the invite, you know, you had to play at least college ball, if not in the NBA. You know that you don't belong there. But you just want to see him. You just want to see him play. So you show up and you sneak in the back and you go and you sit at the very top of the bleachers. And the game's about to start. Michael walks out and he says, "Come down. Andrew, come on down. Lou, come on down." You'd be like, "What's going on? Why am I being called?" And then the crowd starts to mutter, "What's going on? Why this guy? He doesn't play. He's not any good. Why him?" Love you, Andrew. And as you get to the center court, he looks at you and says, "I want you to play with me. I see your heart. I see how badly you want to be here, that you are willing to sneak in the back." And you'd be honored. You'd feel unworthy and undeserving. But you would never forget that moment. And I imagine that's what Zacchaeus would have felt in this. He's a tax collector. He's an outsider. And he gave up on the law long ago. But Jesus calls him down. He calls him down by name. And it's interesting because the name Zacchaeus, it actually means pure and righteous one. You know, outwardly, Zacchaeus was anything but that. He was a tax collector. He's not pure. He's not righteous. He's not following the law. But Jesus looked at this disgraced and outcasted man, not for what he's done, but for who he can become, for who he was meant to be. And Jesus does the same with us. It's not about our mistakes. It's not about our shortcomings. But it's about how Jesus has overcome. And we can be changed as well. Because when we encounter Jesus, something changes in our hearts. You know, who knows if Zacchaeus would have ever made these changes, if he would have ever had the heart of repentance, had Jesus not called him by name. But there is just something about being called that stirs something radical in him. All it took was one encounter. You know, and Jesus, he knows each of us by name as well. Each of us have been called despite our sins, despite our shortcomings. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that you've been called out of darkness into his wonderful light. Jesus is calling you to come to him, just as he called to Zacchaeus. He knows your name, regardless of if you know his. But what if Zacchaeus never climbed the tree? What if he just went home because of his shortcomings? He would have missed out on this moment. How far are you willing to go to see Jesus in your life? You know, when we're willing to do whatever it takes to experience Jesus, we will leave changed. We will leave with a renewed heart. Because that's just who Jesus is. That's what happens when we encounter him. Zacchaeus was willing to take a chance and bring all his shortcomings, all his failures before Jesus. Are you? Because it is impossible for any of us on our own, by our own actions, to make it to heaven. But through Jesus, all things are possible. We have been called out of darkness into his light, not because of what we've done, but because of who he is. So how will you respond to Jesus' call? Because just like Zacchaeus, Jesus is calling out to you. He wants to change your life. He wants to use you to do incredible things for his kingdom. But you have to decide, how will you respond? Will you repent? Will you turn to him? And in Zacchaeus, there is a clear mark of repentance. He goes way above and beyond what would have been expected of him. In Leviticus 6, verse 5, it talks about those who have stolen and deceived their neighbors. And this is what it says. They must make restitution in full, add a fifth of the value to it, and give it all to the owner on the day they present their guilt offering. Zacchaeus was a Jew. He likely would have learned this in school. He would have known what was required to make right the wrongs that he had committed. But he doesn't just give what is owed. He goes way above and beyond. He says, look, right now I'm giving half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've wronged anyone, I'm going to give back four times the amount that I took from them. He was radical in his repentance. And Jesus never mentioned his wealth. Jesus never mentioned that he was a tax collector. When we encounter Jesus, he changes our hearts. And that leads to radical change. You know, if you're the same old person, living the same old life, doing the same old things, committing the same old sins that you've done in the past, then can you really say that you have encountered Jesus? You know, changing our lives and fully turning to God, it's not just the natural response, it's the only response to those who have encountered him, who have seen him, who have been in his presence. And I'm going to assume that all of you here today want to encounter Jesus. Amen. You're here at church. Amen. Whether this is your first time and you're like Zacchaeus, I just want to see a glimpse. Or if you've been coming for 50 years, you're here to encounter him. Amen. And either way, we need to let Jesus make the changes in our hearts. We need to let him lead us to a life of repentance. You know, regardless of where we're at in our walks with him, we have decisions that need to be made. We have trees that need to be climbed. Because an encounter with Jesus is a calling out of darkness. It's to leave everything behind so we can enter into his wonderful light. So what are you waiting for? Answer the call. Leave behind your life of sin. Repent. Start studying the Bible. Learn what it means to be a disciple. Learn what it means to follow him. Give your life to him. Get baptized. Jesus is the heart changer. He wants you to come to him as you are and leave changed because of him. How far are you willing to go to encounter Jesus? What is the tree that you are unwilling to climb to encounter him? To climb it shamelessly. Because let me tell you, Jesus took up a tree for you. Amen? Thank you guys for this opportunity to preach the word this morning. As I said at the beginning, Sammy and I are so grateful for the opportunity to be here, to get the opportunity to be trained, you know, to help build this campus ministry. And I'm looking forward to getting to know you guys more, to getting to serve God alongside you guys. Amen. And with that, I'm going to invite up one of our college students, Kendall Brown, as he leads our thoughts in communion.